This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Mr. Durham, how are we feeling?
So where were we again? What were we doing? I'm sorry. I got to get caught up here. I apologize.
We don't want to apologize. I'm just glad you're feeling better because you were fighting it about two weeks ago. Big time.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you very much. It is nice to be back. It's great to see your shining face here on this Monday morning. It's not exactly a very perky Monday morning, given the results of the weekend. But nonetheless, it's nice to be back. I want to here at the top thank everybody for the well wishes, kind words. Let me thank also Jordan Cornett and Dallin Cuff and Kelly Gramlich and Steve Forbes for filling in last week. Long story short, both my wife Victoria and I contracted COVID at different times between March the 9th and March the 22nd, and we both were able to stay at home and isolate and get through it. She was able to it was rugged for her for a stretch of about 9 days. For me, it was different, but we don't know how we got it. We were doing all the right things, and yet somehow or another, as Pack likes to say, COVID don't care. And we both tested positive and are getting back to, she is full speed and in charge of this operation here, as you can imagine, Pack, which is a good thing. And I'm getting there, a little better every day, feeling better. Glad to be back on the air with you, talking to ACC and stories and having a few laughs along the way. But thanks to everybody. But yep, we went through the coronavirus and are thankful that that we were able to stay at home and get treated and had great doctor care and things like that. We know there are a lot of other folks who've been impacted far more. We think of those folks as well, because there's nothing to joke around with, at least from our standpoint. It was rugged for about a 13, 14 day stretch. So, but thanks to everybody for the kind words, and glad to be back, and looking forward to seeing what the spring unfolds, because it's not going to involve any basketball on the men's side, unfortunately, Pack.
No, but number one, it's good to have you back, because I know you were fighting it. You weren't feeling great before you decided, hey, it's time for me to take care of this. And so, first of glad the whole family's doing well, because I know Vicky wasn't feeling great to start with, and then tag team action, and bam, you got it. So, again, glad you're back in one piece and all that good stuff. Switching gears. No, basketball on the men's side was not good. You can't sugarcoat what happened this weekend. Those were two thumpings, right? I thought the ACC had a thought the ACC had a fighter's chance. I thought Syracuse and Florida State, if they played well, had a chance to move on. And quite frankly, I didn't think either one of them played very well. And neither one are moving on. Mm-hmm. And the ACC men's basketball season, Wes, is officially closed. Done. See ya. 20-21 really kind of ends with a thud. I mean, there's only the only way to describe it. Four wins and seven losses in the dance. Worst record, first losing record since 87. Worst record in terms of wins since 79 when the league went 0-2. Of course, it was a different format back then. But nevertheless, you can't sugarcoat how this thing ended. It wasn't pretty. And you know what? There's work to be done. And given the transfer portal and how crazy the world is, upside down in terms of putting together a roster, I think everybody in this conference needs to roll up their sleeves and get to work. It's the only way it's going to get better.
It is interesting, isn't it, that we're drawing summaries back to Black Sunday in 1979, which Pack and I remember because we were kids, and that was when North Carolina lost to Penn and Duke lost to St. John's in back-to-back games at Reynolds Coliseum on a Sunday afternoon, and the ACC was two and barbecue in the NCAA tournament, just like that. By 6:30 on Sunday night, the ACC was done. And they had staged these unbelievable tournament games in Greensboro the week before. Duke Carolina had played in a final. They had had great Duke Carolina games during the year. They had been really good teams along the way. Clemson had shown some flashes that year, and then all of a sudden, 1979, bang, it was gone in what, Pack? 4 hours. I mean, it started at like 1 and was done by 5:30, right?
Yep, back to back.
1987, I did a little checking last night, Here's the rub on 1987. That was a relatively young ACC across the board. Now, that all being said, the volatility of college basketball right now, Pac's never been higher, has it? I mean, Jeff Goodman 2 weeks ago told us what this transfer portal was going to look like, and guess what? It does. It looks like, and Jeff's done a phenomenal job updating that thing online from what he knows. And I got to tell you, there are hundreds of players in the transfer portal at all levels. And if you take the way he operates that list and just look at the major college lists, it's phenomenal. It's astounding how many players have decided they're going to peek around and look and see what's available. You're right. The ACC's got work to do. You know, look at the schools that have had guys say, okay, I'm going to test the NBA draft opportunity, but I'm going to retain my eligibility. That's Michael DeVoe and Moses Wright, by the way, at Georgia Tech, for example. Chris Likes was going to go pro, now is going to enter the transfer portal. And oh, by the way, during the process of all this, we now have the interconference transfer available. I mean, think about what could be potentially happening here in ACC basketball. The explosive volatility, the transactive nature of all this could be off the charts in the next 60 days, seemingly.
Well, that's a given. Like I said, everybody's got to get to work. And after, you know, having Steve Forbes on here filling in for you on Friday, we spent a lot of time on that show talking about the transfer portal and how teams have to set up, number one, a whole different, almost a division, just to, hey, head on swivel. Every 5 minutes, somebody's entered the transfer portal. So your roster can do a complete 180, literally 180 from A to B. And I think you're going to see that, unfortunately. We are going in a new phase. We've been talking about this on radio for the last year and a half. We're on the doorstep, I think, of a complete total change of the landscape of how college athletics operates with the power of the student-athlete and an all-time high. The transfer portal changes everything. Name, image, and likeness will do the same. We're in interesting times. And how you grew up with the ACC or your favorite team or league or whatever, those days are over. I hate to say it. Those days are over. We're gonna look back at how we operated in college athletics 10 years ago and go, well, man, where are we now? Forget about the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s. This is a fascinating time. And like I said, there is work to be done by everyone. It doesn't matter if you have a Hall of Fame coach or a brand new coach. He or she and that staff better have head on swivel in trying to put together, number one, keeping whatever you feel good about, and then how do you plug spots, right? Because men and women are going to be flying around left and right here. This is going to be, I'm not going to say it's the wild, wild west, as some have said, but it's pretty close. I mean, it's really pretty close.
Pac, do you worry, though, that we're going to have dozens of kids, dozens of young people who were given an opportunity to play college basketball, not just in the ACC, but at the Division I level, okay? We're going to have dozens of kids that are giving up on not only take the basketball out of it, they're walking off on an education, man. I mean, they're not going to be spots available for everybody. The recruiting process, the traditional recruiting process, and I don't know what Coach said with you on Friday, that traditional recruiting process has to continue in order for these programs to kind of keep their step. And I worry about the number of kids going in the portal, and then we're going to have dozens of kids that aren't going to have a college scholarship available. I mean, there's no – the grass being greener is not necessarily the case here.
Well, Steve Forbes talked about that Friday, Wes, and he kind of alluded to my Clemson economics background, and I said, hey, it's all about supply and demand. The world rotates on supply and demand, and college basketball players are no different, and you may think the grass is greener on the other side. There may not be a home for you, and at the end of the day, you know, less than 1% will see the NBA or the National Football League or Major League Baseball or the WNBA. That other 99%, you better figure out a way to get an education, because you know what? You're not going to play sports for a living, the vast, vast majority. And, you know, I know you got to be happy, and given COVID and the fact that, you know, the NCAA put a dead period on recruiting, A lot of these kids have never gone to a college campus. You never ever met your coach unless it's a Zoom meeting. You make a decision to attend school A, and maybe it isn't a good fit. I mean, it's like the blind leading the blind in some respects here, given the restrictions with COVID, the pandemic, recruiting, the transfer portal. I mean, it really is the perfect storm. And I think when you watch this NCAA tournament and you realize that, hey, we're down to the Elite Eight, and you basically have three from the Pac-12, three from the defunct Southwestern Conference, you have the Zags in Michigan. I mean, hey, your brackets are a mess in all likelihood. Hey, it's kind of weird. I mean, it's almost an impossible mix and match. It's not an excuse for the ACC. Hey, you know what? The league's always had good players and great coaches and incredible tradition. Sometimes it doesn't work out your way, and that was the case for the ACC this particular year. The league will be back, but you know what? Like I said earlier, to start this thing, there's a lot of work to be done. And I tell you what, being a coach now, you will earn your dollars because this is a tough, tough proposition to try to make this work, given the fact you've got so many restrictions from the recruiting perspective. You still got to recruit high school players, but yet you realize, hey, there's a junior, there's a senior out there that might be a perfect fit for what your project and what your team is all about. So this is a difficult deal, man. It's a tough puzzle.
Yeah, so through the volatility, you're looking for stability. Easier said than done, but that is clearly the challenge ahead for most of the ACC coaches as we move into the offseason of basketball. By the way, first time in 7 years, the league does not have an Elite Eight team. That is of note as we've boiled down to that level of play on the men's side. Still got Louisville left on the women's side. We'll talk about that coming up. We got a busy show. Dan Bonner's going to join us. We'll get his thoughts from the bubble in Indianapolis, not just the games themselves, but also the reviews of the process that these participants have gone through in trying to make this thing work. Manny Diaz is going to join us. Miami's Pro Day coming up at 1 o'clock later today on ACC Network. And we'll also remember the legendary coach Howard Schnellenberger, who passed away over the weekend. Muffet McGraw will be here as well. We'll talk about Louisville moving on into the Elite Eight. And a disappointing finish, I know, for NC State out of the Sweet 16. And Clemson softball coach John Rittman will be here as well. So we got a busy Monday for you, and we'll get to your calls as well. But on the other side, the difficult, difficult end for the Orange the other night against Houston, and yesterday for the Noles against Michigan. Yeah, not so sweet is exactly right. Monday's Packer and Durham is underway. Nice to be back with you folks on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Monday, which we had better news. Five teams in the Sweet 16, one left standing. Louisville, Jeff Walls and company. Dane Evans going nuts. But on the men's side, Wes, thought Syracuse and Florida State had a fighting chance, but you had to continue to shoot it well if you're Syracuse. Florida State had to finally start making some shots. Guess what? Neither happened, and neither was close. Neither game was close.
Really? I mean, bad starts both ways, didn't you think? Both for the Orange and the Noles, bad starts?
Well, for Florida State, they got punched in the nose and never recovered. They got within five early second half, and then Michigan went on 21-7 run. And for Syracuse, tough start, right, but you tied it up. And then Houston closed with a 10-0 run in the half. Man, you know, Buddy Boeheim, who's been fantastic in March, really, really struggled. And, you know, when Syracuse doesn't shoot well, they're in trouble. And they were in trouble.
That's it.
And then, but the Michigan-Florida State game yesterday, we'll start with that one. The Noles did not make a three against UNCG in the first NCAA tournament game. This is the best field goal shooting team from three in the league. Had a zero, a naught, nada, nunca in the first one. Well, yesterday in the first half, they had naught, nada, nunca. They could make anything. And I thought, again, this is one of those kind of games where Michigan – kind of imposed their will in the second half and said, we're going to make every shot from one, you know, from 1 or 2 feet away, and we're just going to score everything in the paint. I mean, they scored 50 points in the paint, Wes. 50. Yeah. Half a hundred in the paint. That's not getting it done. I mean, Florida State, that's trouble.
No, it's not. And here's the other thing, too. In watching that game yesterday, Florida State, the fact they hadn't shot it well in the tournament – it had almost become a given, right? They're not shooting it great in the tournament. They're finding ways to win, things like that. So yesterday, when they didn't shoot it well to start the game, it was almost like it deflated them again. And you're thinking, okay, now you've been able to kind of come back on some of this. Can you find a way here today? And they never were able to maintain. And I thought Juwan Howard's team kind of dictated everything from the start. And you mentioned the 50 points in the paint. That's one thing. But I thought they did a really good job at the defensive end of the floor, too, not letting Florida State get into their stuff. Once they started missing shots, Michigan then said, okay, fine, if you're not hitting shots, we're also going to make it difficult just even to execute what you're going to try and do to miss the shot, you know?
Well, I'll just say this. Syracuse and Florida State yesterday and this weekend actually combined to make 10 three-point shots. If you stayed up last night, Southern California made 10 by themselves. I mean, you know, the equation's pretty simple here. We'll get to Syracuse here in a second. If you don't make shots, this team's not good enough to beat people without making threes. And Buddy Bingham being hot and somebody right. else. Florida State, though, has got multiple weapons, right? The one thing we love about Leonard's program is that they can hit you with waves. Well, you know what? Michigan's dudes aren't bad either. And the fact that I thought that was their best game without Livers so far that I've seen. And, you know, you take that, you keep that in consideration, too, that Michigan had one of their stars sitting on the bench like he will be for the rest of their tournament. I just thought Michigan in the second half, when it got close, when the Noles finally made a couple threes, finally made a three or two, and they cut it to five, Michigan just went, all right, enough of this. Now we're going to shove it down your throat. And Florida State just could not stop them inside at all. I mean, they just drove, penetrated, dump, dunk. I mean, keep in mind, Michigan made one shot in the second half outside the paint. One. That's Florida State we're talking about now, right? This is not, hey, we're throwing in a doormat. We're talking about Florida State, team to get after you on the defensive front. But, this tells the story right here. Look at field goal percentage, second half, 85%. Yeah. I mean, when everything's a layup or a dunk, I mean, it's kind of amazing it was only 85%. But, you tip your hat to Michigan. They were the better team yesterday, outplayed them, out-hustled, out-everything, Florida State yesterday. And you can't – not going to sugarcoat this one. I thought Florida State had a chance to win the game. Thought they were going to win the game. Then you're watching and you went, not today. Catch you later.
Well, if it wasn't missed shots, it was also turnovers too, right?
As usual.
And how many times did we end up talking about that with the Noles in postseason? Not just the ACC tournament game against Georgia Tech, but it seemed it was becoming a byline to whatever was happening in the NCAA as well. And yesterday in the first half, it created an issue. So there you go. Outscored 24-6 in points off turnovers too. So that being said, same storyline, different verse, if you will, for Florida State yesterday against Michigan.
And, Wes, at the end of the day, everybody's going to take inventory of their season, right? Because the ACC men's basketball season is officially over. I don't care where you finish in the league. I don't care if you won the conference championship in the regular season, whether you won the tournament. Doesn't matter, right? I mean, if you won it, great. But you're going to look back at your year and go, all right, how do we get better? When you look back at Florida State in 2021, what a weird year for them, though, right? I mean, incredibly talented. Leonard's done a brilliant job. But they laid the egg in South Bend to not win the regular season, which was a disappointment.
Right.
They have the 25 turnover game in the ACC title game against Georgia Tech. Don't cut down the nets. They get into the Sweet 16 again. Okay, you know, unfinished business, chip on shoulder. Team that knocked us out 2 years ago in the Elite Eight. We get a chance to see them. Got it basically a week to prepare, and they just didn't play well yesterday. I mean, that was just and you got to give the other guy credit now. Did Florida State not get the job done? Yes, but you give the other guy credit too. I thought Houston outplayed Syracuse. I thought Michigan outplayed Florida State. Real simple. At the end of the day, Florida State's going to look back and go, man, we had two COVID pauses, incredibly talented team. When they were good, they were great, right? When they were good, they were great. They also had some nights where you just kind of went, well, on the road, we weren't as consistent probably as we need to be one of those quote-unquote elite teams, which, again, I think goes back to your turnover issue and, you know, who can step up and make shots when it mattered. But I would love to sit down with Leonard on True Serum and ask him about, all right, a real assessment of what Florida State accomplished this season. They won a bunch of games, but it just seemed like They just missed, right? They just missed in the regular season, just missed in the ACC tournament. And then yesterday was kind of a thud. Yesterday was one of those, yeah, we were better than that. Florida State's better than what they showed yesterday. Weird year.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I think it's also a good time to hear from MJ Walker, who sees his Florida State career, as we know it, come to a close. And he talks about the emotions of the season coming to an end.
I'm just glad I can be a part of something special. The way that we did it, and you know, all the great players that I played with, all the you know, the coaching staff, and you know, the fans. Everything was just it was a great experience being here at Florida State, and you know, it's sad it had to be this way. But I mean, I feel like, you know, even with all the adversity throughout this season, you know, we still put ourselves in the best position possible. You know, to be successful. It wasn't anything we wanted, but I feel like we just left it all out there and try to do the best we can to make Noah Nation proud. So,
good guy, easy guy to root for. But, you know, he was fighting some injuries down the stretch. I'm not sure we saw 100% of MJ Walker down the stretch, which Florida State really, really needed a go-to guy. But he was a joy to watch play, class kid, and we wish him the very best.
Yeah, I think the storyline for Florida State is going to be a little different than the one for Syracuse. The Orange pulled the March magic with us, got us into the Sweet 16. And then Pac just mentioned this a moment ago. It's a 2020 game, and Syracuse has come all the way back from just a dreadful start the other night against Houston, and then watches the Cougars of Kelvin Sampson score 10 straight to end the first half and take a 10-point lead to the locker room. Both teams exit the tournament not shooting the ball very well at all. And in the case of Syracuse, Houston was able to get the tempo where they wanted it, principally through the defensive end of the floor. They forced the Orange into a brutal night from the floor. Under 30%, under 50 points. You see the 5 of 23 from 3. Nothing came easy, seemingly, for Coach Boeheim's team the other night. Houston had a lot to do with that. So did Syracuse's misfires at the offensive end, too.
Well, that highlight we just showed right there, I thought was really the turning point, because that was a looked like 2 points going Syracuse's way to cut to like 6.
Mm.
Steal goes down the other way, 3-point play, catch you later, and all she wrote. A lot of similarities in the two ACC efforts on the men's side this weekend. Neither team shot the ball very well, and neither team defended the paint. Yep. I mean, Houston scored, 48 of their points of that game in the paint. And here we go. You know, paint comparison, 30 points for Houston inside. Again, amazing similarities. ACC teams not being able to make shots. I mean, Buddy Boeheim's been fantastic, like I said earlier. But you had to have Buddy have a big night and somebody else be able to step up and make shots. But again, I think you got to give the other teams credit, man. Houston defensively was outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
They harassed Syracuse all night long. Nothing was easy for Buddy Boeheim to try to get a shot off, and he really, really struggled. And like I said, if Syracuse doesn't make shots, there's a reason they were an 11 seed, right? There's a reason they were 500 basically in the league. When they're making shots, they can cause problems. But when you don't, it is a problem. And Houston was a problem. And so the Cougs and the Wolverines move on. And Wes, I just thought our guys got outplayed, quite frankly, in both those games. I'm going to be chase. And I'm not going to sugarcoat anything here. You know, you get to the Sweet 16, you're not going to backdoor your way into this thing. You got to go beat good teams. And they earned the right to play them. But I thought they both got outplayed Saturday and Sunday, respectively.
And the simplistic art of making shots still counts, Pac.
That's right.
Just making shots. I mean, you can overcome a lot of things. Turnovers, paint points, a lot of stuff. If you just make shots. Didn't happen. And didn't happen for Syracuse, and it certainly didn't happen yesterday for Florida State. And frustrating and disappointing, but then again, this is what this event is now. It's a winner's event. Winners move on. Losers, thanks for coming by, you know? And it gets a little more disappointing the further you go in the event and you don't produce at the end. That makes it tough, too.
Yeah,
and you feel bad for Syracuse, you feel bad for Florida State, but the end is the end was pretty clear-cut, unfortunately.
I would have told you this if you would have asked me 2 weeks ago before this tournament started, and if you would have said, hey, boys, smart guys there in the ACC land, over under the ACC men's teams, only two teams would win a tournament game over under. I'd have said, get out of here with that nonsense, please. That's all we had. I mean, Syracuse 1-2, Florida State 1-2. And we had five L's the other way. It was a disappointing tournament. I mean, it's like the bowl season. Mm-hmm. The bowl season wasn't great either, going 0-6, and the men's side 4-7. We have seen better times in the ACC in the postseason in football and men's basketball when it matters the most. So everybody's got to get to work. The only way you get better, you roll up your sleeves and get after it.
Come to think of it, maybe that's why we're here for the spring. For that camaraderie, that conversation, if you will, about getting better and seeing the positivity in this, right?
Well, I mean,
that's why we're here, Pat.
I'm not going to come on here with the pom poms and go, "Hey, everything's great." I mean, no, you can't go 0-6 in the bowls and 4-7 in the men's tournament and go, "Hey, everything's great." No, no. I mean, hey, there's potential everywhere you look, but given this transfer portal. And the lay of the land, you know what? The only way you get better is to get to work. And that's what the ACC has to do. But I'll also point this out real quick, as far as the men go. You know, since 2015, only two conferences have won the national championship on the men's side. Only two. The ACC and the Big East. Mm-hmm. And you know what? The ACC and the Big East are nowhere to be found this morning in the NCAA tournament pool. And they're both on the couch. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it goes through cycles. And I will say, too, ACC basketball fans, we have been spoiled rotten. I mean, when you start thinking about, hey, the last time we saw a losing year in the NCAA tournament was 1987. And we put up a bunch of graphs here in the last week to 10 days about how the league is compared to everybody else being the standard. We're spoiled rotten from that department. First time we're not in the Elite Eight since 2014. We'd won eight of the last 19 NCAA men's basketball tournaments. You know what? This league has always been built on great basketball, and football is getting better. Clemson's been out of sight in that department. But the only way to get back in the hunt is to get to work, and that's what's going to take place this spring, this summer, and next fall.
There you go. And we'll keep an eye on basketball as we move into this interesting time, right? What a volatile landscape college basketball is going to prove to be here in the next couple months for sure. We're also here, too, to – you know, go through a little bit of therapy on the rebuild. We'll do that, too, along the way. Coming up, best of the weekend. A little bit of a list here for us, by the way. Some good stuff. Covering a lot of ground, too, by the way, on a Monday morning. Dan Bonner coming up at 8 o'clock as well. Hour one, Packer and Durham. I've already got a cup of coffee, Pack. I'm back on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Monday. My partner is back. Looked COVID right in the eye. Looked it right in the eye, he did.
No. Whoa,
and then
he said,
whoa, time out. Chris Webber.
Wait.
I'm going to go back on the couch and
wait a second. Wait a second. Nobody looks. I mean, hang on.
Your wife did.
Hang on.
Miss Vicky looked COVID right in the eye. Said, bring it on.
Hanging in there. We both had moments. She went through. She was on the front line. Now she went 9 straight days of banging away against COVID. I was on the roller coaster.
Glad you're back.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to be back. By the way, you got your second vaccine. You ready to get that second round of shot? You ready? When's that
coming?
Well,
after being tricked into the first one.
Got to get you back out. We got to get you in society.
Where's my sticker? I think I got the sticker upstairs somewhere. I get the second one April 7th, I think it is. Something like that. April 7th.
Make a note, kids. Make a note, Drew, Josh, April 7th.
I already told you. You know this. February of a year ago, I told you I had it.
Oh, no. Here we go.
I had it. I know I've had 8 tests, and they've all been negative. I don't have any antibodies. I know I had it before we even knew what COVID-19 was. I told you. I got everybody else sick. We had Robert down here got sick. You got sick. I got sick. Sick as a dog.
Funny was, we never had COVID.
They told me I did, but I know I did. I've never been that sick in my life. But nevertheless.
No, we didn't either. We didn't have it, so.
The best of the weekend. Yeah. Believe it or not, despite the men with the WIF this weekend, and most of the women, with the exception of Louisville, which we're going to get to, trust me, we did have some things that were positive from the weekend, Wes. And we always like to start with something uplifting and positive on a Monday, on the best of the weekend.
Let's go with the Deeks. Let's go with the Deeks right off the top. I saw you got this on the list right there at the top, the Deeks.
First thing on there.
Go ahead.
We went men's soccer, right?
Bobby Moose, right?
Coach wins number 100 for the Deeks. He's got a great program. And listen, we keep bragging about how good soccer is in this league, men and women. But that's number 100 for Coach. Pretty strong. Nice way to start the weekend right there.
Absolutely. 2-1, overtime.
Yep.
Go get it.
Yep.
Congratulations to the Deeks.
Swiss.
Stay on the soccer beat. Ready? Here we go. Sir. Stay on the soccer beat a little bit. North Carolina men's and women's teams are both still undefeated in lacrosse and still number one in the country.
We got a zero in the L column. That's normally a good thing. And if you've not seen lacrosse yet, I know we have it a bunch here on ACC Network. Do yourself a favor. I'm telling you right now. There are some laser beams fired in this sport, and the teams are so good. That Duke-Syracuse game the other night was ridiculous. That was ridiculous.
Yes, it was. I dialed in some ladies lacrosse this weekend with Jay Alter. Had Syracuse and Virginia Tech. Got a little bit of that action this weekend on ACC Network. That was end-to-end. Man, I tell you, spring sports, it's rolling. Baseball, Clemson swept Boston College. By the way, on Friday, I want to note this. Clemson and Boston College had a 407-pitch game on Friday. 407 pitches in a college baseball game.
It's because they kept scoring. Nobody can get anybody out.
Caden Grice, by the way, 10 runs, drove in 10 on the weekend for Clemson as they beat BC at Commander Shea
and
up
by the
in
way,
Boston.
That's a 10 RBIs for him and didn't have any in the third game. We had 10 through 2. 10 through 2. So the Tigers pick up a sweep.
407 pitches, Pack.
You know what?
407
on Friday. From that game? Let me tell you what was the only thing missing from that game was you doing it on television. That would have been the only thing that would have been better. Is Wes Durham, as we go to the bottom of the seventh with the score 16-12, we go to the bullpen after midnight.
I've had my moments of college baseball like that. Thank you. Appreciate you.
I know you love it.
Next time Danny Hall's on here, we're going to talk about the 18-run seventh in Baton Rouge in 1996.
You love it. It's got your name written all over it. Hey, you want more airtime? We'll give it to you. Let Wes do a baseball game. He'll be on for seven hours.
Good. We got plenty of people. We have plenty of highly skilled professionals handling that stuff. Meter was doing a game this weekend.
I saw John doing
all right.
A little Pitt, West Virginia yesterday.
Yeah, John and Roddy.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's it.
Virginia Tech, Pittsburgh. He was doing Duke, Notre Dame last weekend. Old John Meade Perel.
There he was, yeah.
Flash
there you go.
Boy, getting it done.
Flash. That's it. All right. Nicholas Albero of Louisville, congratulations. Won the 200-meter butterfly national title. Well done, young man. Well done.
I will tell you, we just had the Virginia women just took care of business, winning a national title. NC State was number two. But the swimming and diving crew, men and women, have really gotten the job done in the league. They've had a really, really good spring across the board here.
Well,
so it's cool to see some hardware coming back home. That's nice.
There you go. Congratulations to Nicholas. Virginia men's tennis upset North Carolina 6-1. Yeah. Talk about another sport that's going to get its due paid off here in the next month or so. Tennis on both sides. We've already talked about, you know, what Carolina's been able to do at ITAs. Well, Virginia then takes the Tar Heels down 6-1.
Pretty
nicely
dominant.
Done by Cavaliers. Yeah, absolutely.
When you beat number one 6-1, that's getting the job done. Big win for the Hoos.
Yep.
Big.
Notre Dame won the fencing championship. Don't do it. Don't go get – don't. Yeah, there we go. That's
it.
Yep.
I would go
201 points.
Helmet.
Yeah, that's it. 201 points for Notre Dame.
One of those right there.
Most since Dirt
That's it. Since Dirk.
Look at that.
Now, didn't I tell you that I wanted
can
to go to South
imagine?
Bend? Can you imagine? Listen, I am on the record did. That I wanted to go to South Bend and see a fencing match.
Yeah.
And we got to get one of those fencing. I don't even know what they call them. I assume it's a mask. Is it simple as that? I'm not. There's got to be sure there's a French word that they use for the helmet. It won't be anything like a helmet or a mask or a shield. It'll be like a you have to put on your.
Oh, no. No, no, no. Can I say.
I know nothing about
there are a lot of things that I've been thinking about in my recovery from the coronavirus.
That's what you did to COVID. That's what you did to COVID, Wes. Hey, come here. Come here, COVID.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. Can I say that there once in a while during the recovery from the coronavirus, I started thinking about things. And
that's
in
good.
Some respect,
finally,
the brass in the front office of the ACC network, the worst possible thing, and I don't know if Drew and Josh have thought about this, but the worst possible thing is going to be you fully vaccinated and ready to re-enter society like a meteor.
Hey, let me tell you something. I've already entered society.
No, no, no. I'm talking about
the
like
COVID. I entered society.
You're gonna no,
go
no.
Ahead. Go ahead.
But like when you're vaccinated and everybody's vaccinated,
yeah,
you're gonna want to be at the fencing championship.
Oh,
you're
gonna
want to be on. Oh. Driving the golf cart.
Cross country.
All the things.
I'm going to be on the cross country.
Yes.
Dan Radakovich is going to figure out how to get my fat butt on that rowing machine, and we're going not the one in the building, the one on the lake, there, Lake Hartwell. That's where I want to get, Lake Hartwell. By the way, Brooks just sent me, he said, mask exists for each kind of fencing. There's sometimes called three-weapon mask. I want one of those. So here's for the folks in South Bend. We need to get a fencing mask because I want to look like a hornet when I put that bad boy on. I want to get a fencing mask for the basement. All right. So that's a request to Jack Swarbrick right there. If Jack's watching.
Great.
I want Jack Swarbrick to send us the Notre Dame fencing mask. Okay, we'll put it right up here like we did the national championship lacrosse helmet there from our man Virginia there. All right. That's what I want. I'll put that bad boy.
Good to see Pastner's. Good to see Pastner's got a permanent spot on the shelf. By the way,
yeah, but we got
Pastner had moved since I moved.
We got no. I've moved. Something changes every day on the set. Promise you. But we need to get a fencing mask from Notre Dame in the basement.
Yeah,
we got to get one of those.
I changed my background too.
I saw that. Like that.
Yeah, a little change there. So, all right. Anything else we need to cover in Best of the Weekend for you?
Well, you know, there's one more. We got.
Oh, Callum
Johnson.
We have
to mention the next one. The next one's the most important thing that happened over the
weekend.
Oh,
the next one, we got to, yeah, we got to do this one. Yeah, because they're saving the bacon, if you will. Thank goodness. Dana Evans, by the way, just absolutely said this will not happen tonight. And Louisville won, convincing over Oregon yesterday. And number one, and then Haley Van Lith, at the front of the parade. Tell you what, Jeff Walls now. Keep an eye on this crowd, Pack. I like the way they're playing. I like the way they're handling their business, by the way.
Well, Dan Evans scored 29. Louisville scored 60. That's almost easy math. That's easy math for West Durham, COVID or no COVID.
Yep.
All right. But they're going to jump on the number one seed in Stanford tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you have three number ones on the ladies' side moving on the Elite Eight. You have three number ones on the men's side moving on. As much grief as the selection committee caught, it's an impossible. This was an impossible proposition trying to do the seedings this year. But you ended up having six number one seeds advance to the Elite Eight, men and women. Six of the eight.
Yep.
It's not bad. Just saying. You had three number two seeds advance. You had two number three seeds and one number four. I got to tell you, as goofy as the world is, as many upsets as we had on the men's side, a lot of chalk on the ladies' side, that's a pretty good job by the committee. going to tell you. I mean, listen, we'll rip them when they deserve to be ripped. But that's a pretty good job given the volatility of the tournaments. But to have six number one seeds in the Elite Eight, men's and women's, pretty good. Not bad.
I agree. Totally agree. We had ACC Spring Showcase on Saturday at Duke, and we got more coming for you this weekend. We start our chronicle of ACC Spring Football, and we roll to Tiger Town Saturday at 1 o'clock. Eric McClain, Roddy Jones, and me cover the orange and white game. Starts at 1 o'clock. Dabo Swinney trying to get Clemson back to the college football playoff. E-Mac will be embedded with the Tiger head coach on Saturday at 1 for the orange and white game. We're looking forward to covering it for you right here on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app. Maybe get to see some of those young early enrollees, too, run the rock for Coach Swinney. When we come back, the worst of the weekend. Man, haven't we already done this? We will chronicle this when we come back. Dan Bonner at 8 o'clock, by the way, on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Packer and Durham.
Durham on a Monday. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. All right, we just gave you the best of the weekend. Unfortunately, we have the other side, the worst of the weekend. And I just bragged about all those number one seeds moving on. Wes, one of them, unfortunately, is not. And that would be NC State, a really, really disappointing loss to Indiana this weekend.
Pack it. Watching the game the other night, you could just, man, I was sitting there going, come on now, really? Not like this, right? We just had so much optimism on Wes Moore's team and the way they had played throughout the year, but it just never could quite seem to get over the top on Saturday, could they? I mean, it just really was frustrating to watch. And look, they've had a great year. That's not – the ending, as I said earlier in the show, the ending on this and this event in particular is brutal, right? But you just – one of those games where you're thinking to yourself, they're going to find a way to win the game, and they never could quite get to that step. And it was turnovers. It was missed opportunities. It was missed shots. I mean – just a details type thing, it seemed like.
Well, it was also the absence of Kayla Jones, not to come up with any excuses. You're
sure.
Number one seed.
Absolutely.
You still found ways to win. But, you know, Michigan was the one seed, didn't have one of their stars, found a way to win on the men's side. NC State didn't have one of their stars. You know what? Give Indiana credit. Again, I thought their second and third quarters were the difference, where they had a nice little cushion. Yep. NC State made the crazy run. I know people are still talking about the timeout, but the timeout didn't beat them. The timeout by Wes Moore didn't beat them. They found themselves playing uphill really most of the game after a quick start. But that was a tough loss because I think we all thought that this was a team that, number one, was good enough to win the national championship. Obviously, you're a number one seed. That's the case. But you really thought, hey, this was the prime opportunity to knock the door down and become a Final Four team. And Wes Moore, the way he's been building this program, they'll have more opportunities down the road. But, boy, they were prime for this year. And not having Kayla down the stretch hurt, but there were a lot of reasons NC State did not get the job done against Indiana.
Yeah, Muffet McGraw, by the way, joins us in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll talk to her about, the difficulty of being bounced and how do you process that. You take the 40 minutes – but it can't be a qualifier to what your season was. We'll talk about that with her, plus Louisville's advancing to the Elite Eight. Let's go to softball here because I don't know if you had an opportunity. I hope you did to see Jen Hildreth and Amanda Scarborough did a great job chronicling Duke and Clemson over the weekend in ACC softball. The Blue Devils saw their 20-game win streak snapped by John Rittman's team.
Well, here's how it worked,
Wes.
That
was not before. Clemson saw their 17-game win streak snapped.
I mean, so you had Duke had won 18 straight. Clemson won 17 straight going into Friday. Duke ends up winning the doubleheader to extend it to 20, and then Clemson won the last two of the series So again, both these teams playing lights out and a terrific crowd given the current situation with the pandemic. But again, softball's rocking and rolling. John Rittman, in only year two of the program, people are excited down there in Tigertown with all that stuff. But again, congratulations to Duke and Clemson. You know, you win 20 and 17 respectively in a row. You're getting the job done. Nice job.
Yeah. We will dance through the minefield that was ACC men's basketball here. I feel like we've already thrown all the punches we can possibly throw here. But the men were bounced in the Sweet 16. Syracuse bounced by Houston. Michigan bounces Florida State. Knowles allow 50 points in the paint. Syracuse went cold from the floor, shot 28%, 22% from three. Just not good. None of it. Zero. Bad. That's why it's on worst of the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way to spin that. If you don't shoot, don't make shots, and allow layups all night, giving up a ton of points in the paint, that's probably an automatic. You're heading home. And that's unfortunate the case for both Florida State and Syracuse. For CUSO, you kind of maximize a Sweet 16 appearance out of an 11 seed again. So that's the good news. Buddy Boeheim, a great story to follow, fun to talk to. And like I said, for Florida State, kind of a weird year. A lot of wins, but not an ACC regular season title, not an ACC tournament title, not a Final Four appearance. So, again, there will be a chip on the shoulder in Tallahassee because you know Leonard's going to have dudes for the 21-22 season. And hopefully he'll get that Achilles healed up and good to go and get out of that boot ASAP. But tough way for both of them to go out the weekend. I mean, I thought they both had a chance, but
boy,
just got outplayed, quite frankly, in both games.
Yep. Well, and the number that's going to get thrown out there, the stat that'll get thrown out there, fewest tournament wins since 1979 when the ACC went 0-2 on Black Sunday. And that's, you're going to hear that a lot, especially from a national perspective as it relates to college basketball. And there's no getting around this one either, Pac. We were optimistic, right, when the tournament started, but kind of holding our breath after week one. And sure enough, the inability to get anybody into the Elite Eight or the Final Four is right there now.
Well, would you consider very quickly here that the seven ACC men's teams that got into the tournament, they were eliminated by teams seeded 1 and 2. When you're thinking, well, that's no big deal. That happens to a lot of people. And there's no shame in losing a 1 or a 2 seed. The rest of them, though,
right,
a 7 eliminated them, 8, a 9, a 10, and a 13. That's where, you know, you always talk about the quality and the depth of the league, and that's always been the ACC strong point. That's where everybody's got to get to work. And you know what? Yep. We keep scoring the NCAA tournament now. I mean, this league has built itself on putting up banners, right? We talked about winning it all in 15, 17, and 19. You know, you win 5 out of 8, 8 out of 19. You go through the whole history of this league, not having losing seasons in the tournament. This is why the ACC has been the standard. You know what? When it goes to the flip side, every now and then, it does happen, even to the ACC. You got to man up, accept it. And so, like I said, got to get to work. There's no shortcuts here. Yep. Got to get to work.
Even tough on the hockey side.
Oh,
this man, hurt. Tough on the hockey side.
This hurt. We just had Jerry York
friend
on
of the show.
Yeah, we just had him on the show last week. Had the sweater on and everything, and then Notre Dame gets COVID, and so they kind of get a free pass moving on the next level, and St. Cloud State put a hurting. No puck luck, as Coach called it last week, and really thought that Coach might be able to pull off his fifth national championship. But for Jerry York, he will be back. So it will BC hockey. But like I said, it was just a tough weekend all along, man. This was not the best of times for the ACC. And I know you're going to say, Pac, you know, we don't have hockey as an official sport in the league. I know. But Jerry York's one of our guys. And we're always rooting for BC hockey.
We have hockey on Packer and Durham. It's a sport for Packer and Durham.
It is. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, we follow the hockey. So we follow it all. It's what this is about.
Pull up a chair.
All right. That's the worst of the weekend. Plenty. We're good there, right? We don't have to go through this again, right?
We are done. We're not reliving that.
All right. We go to hour two on the Monday show. Dan Bonner kids coming up next. And we will touch base with Coach Bonner. What to make of the ACC? I thought we were done, but apparently we're not. because we're going to talk to Dan when we come back right after this on Packer and Durham. Good morning.
This is the Packer and Durham podcast.